Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Popping the Popcorn. I'm your host, Katie, and today I'm here with my friend Greg from More Movies for You. How you doing, Greg?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. It's really good to see you. Thanks very much for asking me onto the podcast. It's really cool to see you.
You're welcome. It's really cool to see you. And we met on Instagram and YouTube, and we're all part of this big film community, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it definitely is. It is a large community as well. Seems to be a lot of people talking about movies and TV shows and stuff. But that's really cool. You know, it's like quite a friendly bunch from what I've experienced.
Right. And Greg's from the UK. So we're actually talking like live so we can see each other. And it's really cool to meet people from all around the world.
That's it. Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, people, that's literally it. People from all over the world. I mean, I met people from Australia, from India, from Canada, from the United States. It's great.
Yes, it is. I've met one of my friends. He's actually from New Zealand. And it's really cool to like see all these like cultures come together and show their loves for like movies, TV shows, music, anything really.
Exactly.
You know.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? Just, you know, people sharing ideas and sharing different movies and music with one another. And that's how you find out about more stuff. And it's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. And today we'll be talking about the Beatles, the band. And they're very legendary, I think. I don't even think when they started, especially seeing the documentary on Disney Plus, I guess it's like a documentary or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's considered a documentary, music documentary, which I think is really cool. Is I don't think they thought during that time how famous they were going to be.
That's a good point. I mean, by that point, they were really, really famous because it's been the 60s. But I think you're absolutely right. I don't think they realized that they were going to still be the biggest band in the world like 50 years later.
Right. Yeah. I don't think they did, especially like Sir Paul McCartney. I don't think he thought he was going to be like this famous because he's like, I guess he's kind of like the leader of the Beatles.
He certainly comes across like that in the Let It Be, doesn't it? I think he says to John at one point, like John, he's always thought of John as the leader, but John sort of says, no, you know, it's like he doesn't want to be the leader, but
right.
I think he always was considered that, but towards the end of their time as a band together, Paul definitely was like, he was like, you know, just keeping them going. Just like, come on, we gotta make an album. We gotta make a show. We gotta do a performance. Right.
And it was actually kind of cool to see Yoko in there too.
Yeah. And Linda.
I was like, that's really interesting to see Yoko in that series because I didn't know if she went to band rehearsals with them or what. And it was just really interesting.
Yeah, I think just not long before that is when her and John had got together. And I think it was a bit weird for everyone because they just spent all their time together from that point on. They were always, you know, with one another. So for years and years, people used to say, oh, Yoko broke up the Beatles just because she was there and stuff. But like you said, it was lovely to see her in it. I think she's like really like a really cool little... She's like a cute little figure, you know, she does her little thing. She's doing little bits of art and you can tell her and John are just so much in love and stuff like that. So,
right. Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, it come across like that everybody was accepting of her being there as well. It wasn't a problem.
Right.
So it just seems to have built up over the years. Oh, Yoko was the reason. I think it's just people blaming someone for, you know, would have happened anyway.
Right. Who really knows what actually broke up the Beatles? I think there was like a number of flaws in there. Maybe they weren't just getting along or something like that. You know?
Definitely. I think they've just been together so long since they were so young. By the time they got to, they were all roughly around 30 by the end of the 60s or coming up to 30. And I think they just had enough for a while.
Right.
You know, they should have had we're going on a break.
Right.
have a Beatles break for 5 years and then they could have got back together. But yeah.
Right. But yeah, I just thought it was like a cool documentary to see like the behind the scenes and like see their managers and stuff. And it was actually kind of cool. I didn't think that they would drink during like rehearsals or anything like that. And you see them with like scotch or something. I thought that was interesting.
They were having beers, scotch, red wine, lots of tea, lots of cups of tea.
Yeah, well, that's what they do in British. They have tea time, don't they?
Well, we just drink tea all the time. Like, drink tea in the morning, like, in, you know, some people have coffee, we'll have tea, have tea all day, have tea right. before we go to bed. Have you ever tried British tea?
No. Like we have, it's called England tea or English tea here, yeah. but we don't have like authentic like British tea here. No. We just have like generic brands.
That's all we have. I mean, all of the tea comes from like India or China anyway. By the time it gets to us, it's just like packaged up into tea bags and stuff. But
yeah, that's us too. But I'm sure you guys have like a certain like British brand that you guys buy or something that's like authentic to Britain.
Maybe? Well, there's a couple of big brands that are popular that, you know, some people will say one or the other. But I'm sure all that tea gets grown over in hot countries and just, you know.
Right.
By the time we get it, it's in like a little tea bag.
Right. Yeah.
Do you drink coffee?
I drink both. I drink coffee and tea. I like green tea a lot.
Oh yeah.
And it's I like black tea.
Yeah.
And then I also like chamomile tea at night when I'm going to sleep.
That's a good call. Chamomile or peppermint tea before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm. You have
a good night's sleep.
Right. Exactly. And then I put a little bit of sugar and then I put a little bit of milk in there.
Yeah. Very nice. That's how we have it. So you black tea with a bit of sugar and milk.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way. I think tea tastes nasty without milk in it.
Gotcha. Definitely. I'm not I'm not a fan of black coffee either without a bit of milk and sugar in it.
It's
a bit too, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure they also drink coffee, but I mostly seen them with tea, you know.
Oh, yeah. We do. We do both. But you drinking tea without milk and sugar is just like
and your crumpets.
I don't actually like crumpets, but they are popular.
I've never had them.
Yeah, what's it like?
What is it like, an English muffin?
Yeah, it's like somewhere between like a muffin and sort of bread and toast. It's kind of got like it's not like bubbles in it, but it's like got holes in it and it's kind of chewy.
Mm-hmm.
And people put loads of butter on it, so it's like soaked in butter and stuff, and they are quite nice. I've had them before, but I don't go crazy for them.
Some people love them. We don't have them here. We have like English muffins that might be like kind of like that, but I don't think it's the same.
No, not exactly the same, but it'll be similar. You're in the same ballpark as a crumpet. Such a silly word as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rhymes with trumpet.
Yeah. When I first heard that from my friend, I was like, what the heck is a crumpet? He goes, you don't know what that is? And I'm like, no, is it like a trumpet? Is it like an instrument?
It does sound like that as well.
It's so funny. My friend is like looking at me so puzzled.
And we don't, where I am anyway, we don't really call a cup of tea. We call it a brew.
Oh, yeah. That's what we call coffee.
We say, do you want a brew?
That means,
do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah, that's what we call coffee. Like, if you go to Starbucks, they have like a cold brew, and you just say, "I want a cold brew," and then they'll give it to you at Starbucks.
Right, fair dues.
You know,
what so about a cup of Joe? What would they say if you said that?
It's coffee.
Cup
of Joe. You want a cup of Joe? Coffee.
I want a cup of Joe, Mr. Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but you guys have Starbucks there too, right?
Yeah, totally. We got it all. Whatever you get, we get 5 minutes later. That's basically been the way since the Second World War.
Right. I said I want to try like your McDonald's and like your Burger King over there just to see how different it is.
Yeah, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? To see if there's any flavor differences. Because I believe I have I've had a McDonald's like in the Netherlands and stuff. And they did do some of the stuff was a little bit different.
So, yeah, the same thing in like if you go to China or Japan, they have there's McDonald's and their Burger King are a little different than here.
Yeah, I suppose that's got to do with sourcing the all the produce quite more locally, especially on a global scale, you know, like the beef or the potatoes for the fries or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it's also with the Beatles, it's interesting how they all went to lunch together or dinner together too. And they spent like a lot of time together.
Exactly. And all the time before that, when they were like, you know, when they were youngsters, they were like early 20s and they were like doing the pop music. They used to just live with each other all the time in the same hotel rooms, in the same flats. They shared flats together and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like I said, by the time I think you get to what this documentary is like 1969, somewhere there.
Yes.
Then they're they're probably just a bit sick and tired of each other, all ready to sort of have a break from the Beatles for a while. But I think for years and years, everybody thought that was like a really bad stage for them. So they did a movie out of that footage years ago called Let It Be.
Uh-huh.
But that was always famously like, oh, they were a bit downbeat. They were arguing with each other, and it showed all the worst bits of it. But I think what Peter Jackson's done is gone back to it, and he's shown that there's loads of good stuff where they were having fun, and they were, you know, like you say, drinking together, eating together, having a lot of fun.
Right, exactly. And I also like Peter Jackson when he directs stuff, because his directing style is unique.
Definitely. Have you ever seen, what do you call it? The, I can't remember the name of it now. The ones he did in New Zealand when he was like...
The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings? Yes, I've seen all those.
It's like before that, he did like kind of gross out movies in a way, some of them.
Hold on, I'll look it up. Peter Jackson. We're looking stuff up live.
Yeah, look stuff up with Katie and Greg.
Yes, exactly. Remember.
Bad Taste, I think it's called.
I haven't seen that one, though.
Yeah, that's like one of his famous ones. And it is just like it says on the tin, Bad Taste.
Oh, I didn't know he directed The Lovely Bones. Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. He has got a totally unique style because he's done so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, he'd done The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, and now he's done The Beatles. But before that, The Frighteners as well.
I haven't seen The Frighteners.
Yeah, that's really cool. Michael J. Fox from Back to the Future.
Yeah, I like Michael J. Fox. So
that's a really good film, that.
The movie I did not like that he did, I guess he produced it. I don't know if he produced it or directed it, was District 9. I did not like that one.
Oh, you didn't like it?
Mm-mm.
No.
I like Chappie better.
Oh, Chappie was great, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. How did you cope with the South African accents? Because they talk like that all the time. What are you doing, Chappie?
Yeah, I was just like the accent thing. I had to watch it with the subtitles on.
Brilliant.
I had to put the American like subtitles on it so I could read it to understand what the heck they were saying, Chappie.
They have got some thick South African accents, haven't they? Do you have to do the same if it's like Scottish people?
Yeah, sometimes like that show Highlander, or I think that's Outlander. Yeah. That's a Scottish show, and I have to put the subtitles on there because they talk too fast sometimes.
Sure.
Even with British shows, sometimes I have to put the subtitles on there because they talk too fast too, and I'm like, what?
What did you say?
Same thing with this one. I had to put the subtitles on because when I first watched it, the documentary of the Beatles last week, I couldn't understand what the heck they were saying because some of the voices were like really like low, so I had to put the subtitles on it.
They've all got sort of like Liverpool accents as well, so they don't all talk a bit like that, you know.
Yeah, and I just couldn't understand them. But to me, Paul McCartney seemed like he's more outgoing than the rest of them. And John Lennon just seems like he's more introverted. He wasn't talking as much. He was just like quiet most of the time.
Yeah, he sort of livens up a bit later on. But at first, it's Paul is the one with the McCartney energy, isn't he? He's bringing it. Do you see that bit where he's just sat there as well and he's just messing about on the... And then he just basically writes Get Back.
Mm-hmm. That was really interesting. And I think... I think in that part, John was late, so Ringo was there and George was there, I think, and they were just like listening to him doing it.
Yeah, just having a cigarette and just listening to him, like, oh.
And I didn't know that they smoked. I did not know that
they
smoked.
They were all smokers, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're all smoking, huh?
I think everybody in the 60s was smoking, though, pretty much everybody.
Right.
Because it was, I think they knew it was bad for you then, but not like.
You know, not like it is today, I don't think.
No way like it is today. I mean, I've tried. They're all still smoking inside, smoking you know, wherever, smoking everywhere.
Yeah, now you can't even smoke inside a restaurant or a bar or a club.
No, not for years now, over here anyway.
That's not here either. No. You can't, here in America, you cannot smoke anywhere where the food's being served.
Is that just statewide for you? Is that like nationally?
I think it's nationally. I'm not sure if it's naturally. It could be just in Florida, but I think it's nationally.
I know California don't have any smoking indoors and stuff.
Okay. Okay. What was that?
I said I think California don't have any smoking indoors, but I don't really know, so.
Yeah, I don't think they smoke indoors either. California has really, really strict rules over there.
I've seen people joking about that.
And gas prices up there are expensive.
Right. It's probably one of the most expensive states to live in, isn't it, California? It is. Have you been there?
No, I want to go. I want to go to Disneyland. I want to go to Universal there.
Yeah, I bet.
SeaWorld. I want to see how different all of those are from Florida, because I've been to all the Florida parks that are in Orlando, but I have not been to Disneyland.
Fair enough.
And then also Hawaii's a lot of money to live in, and New York.
Yeah, big time.
All those places are.
I'd love to go to Hawaii. That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Me too. I want to go to the Disney resort there.
Hawaii. Is there a Disney resort in Hawaii?
Yeah.
It's called, how cool is that?
It's called Aulani.
Oh, brilliant. I know. I think did they do Lost in Hawaii as well? You know that show, Lost?
They did. They did a lot of movies there.
Yeah, I suppose so. Like Jurassic Park and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You can actually go to the Jurassic Park. You can actually go to the Jurassic Park, like, I guess it's like a museum or like place, and it's really cool. My friend went there and it was like really cool to see like that set because it's still there.
Oh, that's cool. I'd love to see that.
I would get
some great photos.
Mm-hmm. And then there's also like a banana plant there in Hawaii that you could see where like all the bananas are made and stuff like that. And it's interesting.
Oh, cool. Like a big factory, big plantation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Because I've had a lot of friends go there. I just haven't been there. I just know about it, but I've never been there.
No.
Just like
put it on the list.
Yes, it's on the list. It's on the bucket list. Just like I know a lot about your country, but I've never been there either.
No, same. I know loads about America, and I've never been yet.
You know, but
I've always been interested in it, and the history and stuff, and most of the culture as well. I suppose a lot of the stuff that I've liked in my life, like movies and music and stuff, a lot of it has come from the United States.
Right. But yeah, you guys also have like a lot of artists that come from over there that are popular here too.
Yeah, you know? Like the Beatles, for example. Exactly. Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin. I suppose more modern stuff as well.
Yes.
Like, and do you guys have Adele over there?
Yes, we like Adele over here. I love Adele.
Cool.
She's one of my favorite like vocalists because she has such high range, and she's classically trained, which is you don't find that too much. Like the Beatles, they're not really classically trained.
Definitely not. They're just like working class, rough sort of geniuses.
Yeah, and then to come up with like all the songs that they come up with, and they're like famous in movies now, is like really interesting.
So, what other Beatles movies have you seen?
I've seen this one, and I've seen a couple of the other ones. I don't remember the names of them because I've seen them a couple years ago.
Sure.
You know, the Beatles, just especially Yellow Submarine, that's like one of my favorite songs because my mom introduced me to the Beatles. That's why I like the Beatles so much. And my mom's not here anymore. A lot of people don't know that, but my mom's not here anymore. She passed away 12 years ago, and it was one of her favorite bands. So when I was like 6 or 7, we started listening to the Beatles, and that was the first song I ever listened to the Beatles.
That's probably the same for me with Yellow Submarine, because they taught us to sing it in school when we were very little. And that was like the fun song, because, you know, you might sing like church songs or Christmas songs or something like that when you're little in school. But the first song they taught us, which wasn't either of those things, was Yellow Submarine, and we all sang it, so...
That's really interesting.
I think that's the thing with the Beatles. They span age gaps. They span the generations. They seem to, like you said, your mums love the Beatles. You know, a lot of our parents sort of grew up with them and loved them as well. So it is crazy to think that people still love them now. Because I've seen like kids on TikTok, you know, people that are like 17, 18 years old, and their accounts are dedicated to the Beatles. And they do impressions of the Beatles and will play their songs and stuff. And think, wow.
Because
when I was like 18, I loved the Beatles then, but that was like 20 years ago. Right. So it's like, you know, they're still popular. They're always going to be popular.
I think so too. I think they're always going to be popular no matter like what the demographic is. Even like I'm a millennial. I'm considered a millennial.
Yeah.
So even the people like my nephews, like I can't wait until they get old enough to where I can introduce them to who the Beatles are.
Yeah.
And show them like, hey, this is what the Beatles are like, and they're a boy band. I guess technically they're a boy band.
Yeah, they were when they started out for sure.
You know, and that way I could show them, hey, they're kind of cool, and then try to get them into like the Rolling Stones or like the Bee Gees or something like that. Yeah,
totally. All those great bands, you know, Beach Boys as well, and all of that stuff from that sort of era is still popular now. There's a lot, you know, a lot of music like Motown music and stuff, and soul music as well, like Aretha Franklin or James Brown or. Mm-hmm. All of that is like people listen to it now. Like I've been at weddings and stuff like that, and the most popular music is still the old music because the kids love it, but the old people love it as well, and everybody in between. It's like new music is great too. I think there's loads of great new music, but it's the old stuff that seems to still be in people's ears. People still want to listen to the Beatles and still want to listen to
classics. I think also like that older stuff, like the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Bee Gees, James Brown, Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, all of that stuff.
Whitney Houston is amazing.
All of that stuff, I think, because nowadays the music that the kids listen to, you're like, what the heck are you listening to? That's not even words.
So, like, if you listen to like Bad Baby or something like that,
Gucci
Flip Flop.
Like Lil Wayne's song, How to Love, I'm like, what the heck is he saying?
Yeah. I mean, it's fair enough. Every generation's got to have their own stuff to listen to. And I totally appreciate that. But I think with some of these kids who listen to that sort of stuff now, at some point still, they're still going to appreciate some of the old classics. Even if it's not the Beatles or not this, that, it will be something from the old days that will still be shining as kind of like this is just a groove. People love this sound. It makes them feel amazing, you know.
And I think also part of the reason why a lot of people like the Beatles or connected to the Beatles is because like how they wrote their songs. They wrote their songs, and a lot of people back then did not write their songs.
No.
It was the record studio that wrote their song.
Yeah, exactly. There was like people who were songwriters were sort of like part of the industry but a separate thing, you know, like that Tin Pan Alley, I think it's called. It was that place, you know, where all the music writers used to hang out, and they just write the songs, and then the people, but the Beatles, like you say, was amongst the first to sort of do it for themselves. It's like, we're going to do our own songs,
right?
And they're going to be the best songs you've ever heard,
right?
They're going to write a song about a yellow submarine.
Right. And also, I think they kind of went like creative with it. Like they did their own thing. And I think in one point of the video, John was, I think it was, no, it was Paul. Paul was like, no, we're going to do it. We have the say so. You do not tell us what to do. I think in one point of the documentary, he told somebody that. And I was like, you go, guy.
They must have had their own dynamic in there, didn't they? You know, of who was in charge of what song. But I think it shows when things were going good. I mean, the best bit for me was when, you know, when Billy Preston comes in and he starts playing the piano for them, and they all just seem to get happy and start to get into the groove, because a lot of it before that, they're just messing about. And sometimes you think you're the greatest band in the world and you're just messing about, like doing silly voices, playing silly songs, not concentrating, not really getting on with it. But when Billy Preston comes in, they just seem to come alive, and they just like got that extra element.
Right.
And it sort of gives them some fire. Mm-hmm. So they bring it, and you get some great Beatles energy.
Right. And I think also from when they were beginning to like now, they were also finding what worked, what didn't work, and they were just messing around. And that's how they made most of their songs, just messing around.
Yeah. Exactly, just trying it and just trying something, and just what they were like. They were that kind of talent where they could just make stuff up,
right?
And like we said, they spent so much time together, they could They can tell what each of us going to do. I think musically as well, you develop a sort of rapport with your other band members. And
right. And being so close together, you know, they're like brothers almost, and they're going to fight. There's going to be days that you fight with that person.
Definitely.
But at the end of the day, as long as you love that person, I think that doesn't matter. You know,
exactly. Exactly. Right. All you need is love. I think that's perfect. They were exactly like brothers. And yes, exactly. Sometimes they will fight. But at the end of the day, no matter what, they did love each other because they were family. They grew up together. They did so much together. Right. They changed the world in a lot of ways together with their music.
They did. Because me, I grew up, I was born 86. So for me, growing up in that age, I didn't really, until the 90s, I didn't really know what music was. You know what I'm saying?
No, of course. You were just a toddler.
Yeah. And so to like music to me, like I love movies. Everybody knows I love movies and shows, but I also really love music because that's what I would put on when I was in a bad mood. I would just put on music. It just moves me.
Definitely. Same. I think it's same for a lot of people. And in a way, music is a big part of movies a lot of the time as well. Not always, but a lot of the time. If you think of something like Star Wars, we were talking about, you know, the music in Star Wars is as good as the picture you're watching or any special effects. It gets your emotion. It carries the story. It tells the story. It's really important.
Right. Just like Star Wars. The first Star Wars movie was in the 70s, and nobody's seen anything like that before. And that's what I find interesting about movies and music. Like, there's this music, and then there's this movie. What is that from? And you could just, like, Google it.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? We can Google anything we want nowadays. Anything you want to find out, it's there.
Yes. And but growing up...
Sorry, go on.
And growing up in the 90s, you had to listen to like CDs or tapes.
I've still got some tapes. I don't ever play them anymore, but I've still got some.
That's really cool.
Because we used to make, you know, what they call mixtapes.
Yes,
we used to literally make mixtapes from like taping off the radio and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But to think back to those days now, because I was little, I was born in 1978, so I'm like 8 years older than you, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's still, in a way, it's a similar era, you know, so you still remember tapes, CDs, things like that, videotapes and everything. And it's so strange now to think back to that because we have everything now with, you know, computers and internet.
Right. Or what about your cell phone? Like it's like a digital cell phone. And back then we had like the Nokias. You remember those?
Yeah. Snake.
Yes.
Everybody loves Snake. Yeah. That was like, we used to, when our one friend got a Nokia before anyone else did, and we used to just pass the phone around so we could all try and get the highest score on Snake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Snake. I would sit there during, like, because we had a hurricane here in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
and I would sit there and play Snake on my phone because those phone batteries actually lasted longer than these phone batteries do.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like not that long ago, but it was quite a while back now.
Exactly.
But it's good you still see them in some films that are like based in that period. You still they've still got them, and you always see them and say, "Hey, Nokia."
Yes, exactly.
I used to have one of those Motorola flip phones. Do you remember them when they came out? And it was like, "Oh, it's like Star Trek." Like a flip phone.
Exactly.
That's when you know you're living in the future.
Right. I wonder what these kids would think about. I should try to find like an 18 or 19 year old to come on. And see what they think of the technology from back then, like play a clip and then be like, hey, what do you think about this?
I suppose it depends who your parents are and stuff. If some people's parents are going to like, you know, be my age and they've still got stuff about, then at least you could learn about it. But some kids, I just can't imagine like what it is to be young now, where you're born into a world where all of this information is everywhere. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, when I grew up, it was like four channels on TV and most films you watched on the video, if you didn't go to the cinema, VCR. Of course. Yeah, VCR, what you call, we have VHS, but same thing.
Yeah, we have VHS too.
And it's funny as well with vinyl records, they were like, an old-fashioned thing in the 80s when we were growing up, but they still had them. But they were phasing them out and making CDs. But now, vinyl market is massive again because the youngsters love to buy that format. Mm-hmm. They just mm-hmm. like the format. And I can appreciate that. I still got all my old vinyls as well.
I have a couple of vinyls. I have them in storage, but I have the one of the Beatles. I don't remember which album it is, but it's the one where they're walking across the crosswalk and all four of them are walking across.
Yes, the Abbey Road.
Yes, that's one of my favorite albums by them.
One of the times when I was like, I was about 20 and I went with my friend, we did a little bit of work in London. Mm-hmm. And then on the last day there, the guy we've been working for said, "What do you guys want to do?" And we said, "Can you take us to Abbey Road?" So mm-hmm. he took us in the car to Abbey Road and we got out the car and we walked across that crossing.
That's
just
really cool.
Just so we could say we'd done it, you know.
Right. That's really cool.
We had to do that.
Yeah. I would love to like go to like some of these places where some of these famous people have been and just be like, "I've been there."
Yeah. It's nice to do, isn't it? You get a photo, you sort of see the landmarks and things like that. Like I said, in Liverpool, that's where they grew up, so you can go mm-hmm. to places like Strawberry Fields and Penny Lane, all these places that are in their songs. Mm-hmm. There's a statue of Eleanor Rigby. Somebody did like a sculpture mm-hmm. and it's just this old lady sitting on the bench feeding pigeons, and that's mm-hmm. like the statue of one of their songs. So there's loads of stuff like that in Liverpool to see.
Mm-hmm. But that's really interesting.
London's packed with stuff, you know, Buckingham Palace and
right.
Tower of London, Houses mm-hmm. of Parliament.
All these famous landmarks and Big Ben's there.
Big Ben, yeah.
I think that's what you guys call it, right?
Exactly right, yeah. That's the name of the bell, actually. That's what the inside the bell of the clock, that the bell is called Big uh-huh. Ben. But
I thought it was the whole clock tower.
No, it's actually called St. Stephen's Clock Tower, but everybody calls it Big Ben. If you've seen a photo of the clock tower, people will say that's Big Ben, but officially it's actually just what they call the bell.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. I was just like, isn't that what Big Ben is? You know, because you see it Big Ben really. In so many movies, like Peter Pan, you see it and they have it in Peter Pan and they have it in like a lot of movies. They even have it in Harry Potter.
Every time you see it from now on, when you notice it though, they always have the bell chiming. So you see the clock tower and it always has that dong, mm-hmm. you hear the bell, and that's Big Ben. So when you see it from now on, you'll be like, that's the bells, actually, Big Ben.
Yes. And I'm just like, I don't know the name of the actual thing, but I would love to like go like see that because I want to see it in like person and be like, I've been there.
You should. Yeah. You should definitely come to the UK. People should definitely visit the UK and like as tourists and see what there is here, because there's so much history here. Like where I live in Wales, there's loads of old castles that date back, mm-hmm. you know, to the 15th, 16th, 17th century castles that you can literally get that whole Game of Thrones vibe from.
Right. I love history. Like I'm a history buff and I love history. I love like watching like old history movies and stuff like that.
Yeah. I love that stuff too. I love American history as well.
Oh, American history is
I watched one, you know, Ken Burns, that mm-hmm. filmmaker. He did one called Civil War.
Yes, I've seen that one.
That was really good. I've watched that a few times. I thought that was really interesting. And mm-hmm. he did another one. He's done quite a lot, but he's done one called The West as well.
Right.
Which is about sort of, you know, expansion into the West. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting. American history is really very interesting.
It is just like Pearl Harbor. If you ever seen that movie,
movie Pearl really Harbor. It was, yeah. And I've seen like that one we were talking about the other week, 13 Days.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's about the Cuba Missile Crisis.
Yeah, exactly. So it's things like that, even that are just like, wow, so much has happened mm-hmm. in the last couple of hundred years. Because you guys are still quite a new country.
Right.
In terms of the United States, what, like 1776, since you mm-hmm. declared independence from the British?
Right. Yeah. Can you imagine us if you guys were still like if we weren't America and you guys still owned us? Can you imagine?
No, it just couldn't happen.
Just like, just be mad. Just like you guys, I think one of your properties is the Bahamas. You guys own the Bahamas. And that's over this way a little bit.
Oh yeah. They had loads of places in the British Empire that all around the world, but it's now everybody's starting to just declare their own independence, become a republic. I think Barbados the other day just mm-hmm. said, "We're a republic, we don't have the Queen as the head of state anymore," and stuff. So you know, it's just basically colonialism is just dissolving.
I didn't even know you guys owned Barbados.
I don't think like owned it, but they had like, you know,
like the territories.
I suppose that back in the day they did, because people owned people then and stuff and all sorts of horrible things. But yeah, gradually over the years, it's getting to the point where nobody loves us. Everybody hates us.
Like, we don't need you anymore. I think that's with every country, though. You know, every country's like that.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
I think
everybody in every country is fundamentally the same as well, you know.
Right.
Everybody just wants to get through the day, go home, have a nice warm house and some food and their family and some love. And that's all everybody wants.
Right,
and if people don't want that, it's like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right, exactly. You know? Like, I believe in giving people respect. I give you the same respect, and everybody should respect each other. I don't like when people disrespect each other. That's one thing I will not tolerate, you know.
That's it, yeah.
Just
treat people like you want to be treated is the number one rule, isn't it?
And just because we're all different, we're all unique, you should be uniquely yourself and try not to be somebody that you're not. You know?
Definitely, totally agree with that, totally. There's no point as well if people, I think, spend like massive portions of their life trying to be something they're not. And you're only ever going to get to the point where you think you can just be yourself now. That's all you can it's all you can ever be. Nobody's perfect. Everybody has stuff that's not as good as someone else or is better than someone else. Or, you know, it's just you just got to be yourself.
Right, exactly. And that's why I like the Beatles, because they were uniquely themselves.
Exactly.
And they didn't care what other people thought of them. And that's the way I try to be. I don't care what people think of me. You like me or you don't, I don't care. You know,
no, same. Life's too short for that.
Exactly.
There's always going to be mean people who try to, you know, disparage you or attack you for whatever reason. But I always think when people be mean, I always think it's about them. I feel sorry for them. I think, oh, whatever reason you're being mean, because you're just hurting yourself, you know.
Right, exactly. And I try to talk to that person who is ever being mean to me and be like, hey, what's going on?
What's wrong?
Here if you need to talk, you know, maybe they're jealous or wanting to do what you're doing, but don't know how. And that's how come they're mean, too.
Yeah, could be loads of reasons,
you know. And so I just try to talk to them and just be like, hey, I'm here. If you need me, I'll pray for you, whatever you need, you know.
Yeah, that's it. It's the best way to be.
And I think a lot of people also, when John Lennon passed away and got shot, I think a lot of people took that really hard.
Definitely, definitely. I think they still do. I mean, it was just such a thing, wasn't it? I mean, shot by somebody who was just like a bit crazy.
Was he in America when he got shot? I don't remember.
Yeah, he was in New York. But the guy who shot him, funnily enough, is Italian, was from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he had like, you know, mental health problems, the guy who shot him. So,
basically, did they ever find out why he shot him or anything?
He said basically he wanted to be just as famous as John Lennon. The best way to do it was to
shoot him,
kill him, and then you'll always be associated with him. But, you know, people are best at not even learning his name, because that's what he wants, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Right.
Better not to know and just to love John Lennon and love his music and his message. And,
right.
Because he was about, you know, give peace a chance, peace and love. Yeah.
Yes. I think a lot of them were like that, you know, because that's like the hippie time too, when they were growing up, was the hippie genre. It was.
Yeah. They were pretty much right in the center of all that, weren't they?
Because
that's what's happened to them from when they were younger and they had the shorter hair and the suits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see them in Get Back and they got long hair and beards and they are more like hippie-ish and stuff.
But, right.
You know, they were, that's the thing, they're such legends, but they were only young guys then, still not quite 30 yet, like 28, 27, 28, 29. Still quite youngsters. And they've spent 10 years of their lives being like most famous band ever. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Nobody's perfect. No. And also, I find it funny how they used to look from the 70s until they looked like when they were in like the 80s, when they had their short haircuts. That's how I remember them on. And I forgot that they were like in the band in like the 70s and they had the long hair and stuff and the bell bottoms.
Yeah. It was a crazy time for fashion, wasn't it? But I think, like you say, that was the message then, was people trying to be a bit more peaceful. You know, they didn't want nuclear weapons, they didn't want wars and stuff like that, because we'd had enough of that with the wars that was before it, I suppose.
Right, yes.
But maybe that's why the Beatles keep coming around and stuff like that. People sort of resonate with these ideas about being peaceful and being loving and just, like you said, everyone in the world just wants to have a good day and go home to a nice, comfy house of love.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what they wanted in their music, everybody to feel that love. And even if you're alone, you can try to find, there's resources for you, you know.
Definitely.
Or reach out to somebody.
Yeah, and I think, like you said earlier, just people just listening to their music would get some sort of healing from it and some sort of catharsis. Music makes you feel better when you're down, doesn't it?
I used to actually write my own songs when I was little. I can't sing. I cannot sing. You'll be like, what the heck? Because I'm tone deaf. But I used to write my own songs because I was like, I want to be a songwriter when I grow up.
Yeah, totally. That's nice. That's really cool.
You know,
and I think whoever you are, if even a lot of people say, oh, I can't sing, but it's important to sing. Right. Even if you can't sing. You know, in the car or in the shower, it's good for you. I think the process is good for you. It's good for the, you know, chemically inside. It just makes you feel happier. Get stuff out as well. Some people are just like sing to get stuff off their chest.
Like some of those screamo people. Those screamo people.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm listening to every genre of music. I like every genre of music, just about.
Yeah, me too. I'll give anything a go. I think all genres have good and bad music. Even the Beatles did some, you know, bad music, I think. You know, it's not all brilliant, but it depends what you like.
I think their earlier stuff was okay. I like their newer stuff, the Beatles' newer stuff, you know.
Definitely.
Because they were just finding their sound as well.
I think some of the early stuff is just a little bit sort of what it is. It's a bit, like you said, a boy band sort of pop music. It's kind of, it's nice, but it's like, it doesn't have the same meaning as some of the
stuff. And I also think when they first toured in like the 70s in America, people didn't know who they were either. They were more popular in the UK than here too.
Yeah. I think they came over in the 60s, and then when they did, that was the big thing. They exploded in America as well.
Right. And they did.
America did love them. They went on, they had something called the Ed Sullivan Show. You ever heard of that? It was sort of like late night show or whatever.
Like Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, exactly like the Jimmy Fallon of his day. And they went on Ed Sullivan Coast to Coast Show, and that was it. Everybody just loved them.
Right, yeah. And
until they didn't love them anymore.
Right. Well, isn't that like with every band? Because don't forget, like, if you think about it, the Backstreet Boys took some time off, and now they're back together again. And they all,
Backstreet's back.
Yeah. That's actually one of the bands that I started listening to when I started getting into music.
Was Justin Timberlake in Backstreet Boys?
No, NSYNC.
Oh, sorry.
So the big debate in the 90s is it Backstreet Boys or NSYNC? Which fan are you?
Which fan were you?
I was the Backstreet Boys fan.
Fair enough.
So the Backstreet Boys have better lyrics in their songs, and NSYNC are the better dancers.
Right. Will NSYNC ever get back together, do you think?
I don't think so, because
Timberlake's too big on his own.
Well, Justin Timberlake's too big, and they all have their different like things that they're doing. They all have their different projects. I don't think so. Like Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, he went off and did a solo album, and a couple of the other ones did too, but they also came back, and then they went on tour with the New Kids on the Block as well.
Oh my God, that is like... before Backstreet Boys, New Kids on the Block were like the quintessential American boy band of the 80s.
Yes. Do you like New Kids?
Well, I've got to be honest, it wasn't my sort of thing when I was, you know, that sort of age. We've kind of seen it as it was. I hate to say it now. It probably sounds really old fashioned to say it now. But when I was a kid, when they became famous, it was more like the girls loved them because the guys were cute. You know, and all the girls were screaming for the guy. So as a guy myself, it's just more like, I don't know.
Like
It's funny to think back on.
What bands did you listen to when you were little?
I suppose a lot of 80s stuff, you know, that was around at the time, like, you know, all that 80s kind of music. But I always like the old music. I always like the Beatles. I always like the Beatles mm-hmm. from when I was young. And like you said, people like the Bee Gees, loads, absolutely loads of music.
Mm-hmm.
I if you name it, I probably listened to it and liked it because I was like, I am massive into music as well, like you. I love it. Just probably just as much as about movies. And mm-hmm. it was funny, I was saying to my co-host Dave on our podcast, mm-hmm. saying we could have easily done one a podcast about music rather than movies, but we decided to do movies because that's what we both studied together, you know. But
mm-hmm.
it could have just as easily been about music.
Right. I think like if you like what, like music is part of movies, because without music there would be no movies. Like the movie would be like boring, I think.
Yeah, some movies have a choice not to have any music, but that's usually done so you notice that there's no music, you know. Right. It's like, oh, something's, like you said, it's not quite right because there's no music. So mm-hmm. but like you say, yeah, most of it is an important part of a film, isn't it?
Right. Like if you think of the older like 70s and 60s movies, they're black and white. The first original color movie was Wizard of Oz. That was the first color movie.
Yeah.
So that was the first like in color movie that they made. So some of those black and white ones, they don't even have bands in there. They just have like sound effects and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like the silent the very first movies, the silent movies, you go to a movie theater and somebody would play the piano or the organ along with the film,
mm-hmm.
like play live.
Right.
That's how really it was in the early movies. That's
I would have loved to see something like that. That I would think be
you
really
could
cool.
still go to some places that were like, if you went to a silent film festival mm-hmm. and you could see like Buster Keaton or Charlie mm-hmm. Chaplin or one of the old films, and they'll usually have somebody who'll play the organ. But in the old movie theaters, having the organ or the piano mm-hmm. was part of the theater. Whereas mm-hmm. nowadays, it's like it's got to be THX sound system as part of the theater, you know. So you get the, you
the
know,
surround
sound and all the best 4K. Sound. Exactly.
It's so funny though how movies and music go like partners. They're like partners together.
Definitely.
Because even like if you think about it, John Carpenter, he's like one of the most famous directors. But also before that, he made his own like music for his movies.
He does, yeah. He just writes his own scores and stuff. There's like a keyboard and that because
mm-hmm.
he's just because he's a musician and he loves it as well.
Right, exactly. Like,
and he's really good at it. If you listen to those soundtracks on his films as well, it's like perfect for the film.
Mm-hmm. Especially like a lot of people don't like the Halloween movie, like the first Halloween movie that he made. A lot of people don't like that one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like classic. That's the best one.
I think so too. Besides the Rob Zombie one, but
I haven't seen the Rob Zombie ones.
Oh, you have to check it out. That's my favorite like Halloween movie because it actually, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I love John Carpenter. He's one of my favorite directors and musicians, or composers, but his take on it, Rob Zombie's take on it is really interesting because he came up with a backstory for how Michael Myers is the way he is.
Yeah. That's cool. That's like a different spin on it, isn't it? And exploring mm-hmm. it. I'm so all it for that, you know.
So it shows like his family dynamic and what made him click to be Michael Myers.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I will watch it at some point. There's so many Halloween movies and they're chronologically a bit of a mess because they've done so many different things. And
right. Exactly. But I wish they would have just like, I'm not a sequel person and I'm not a prequel person because just because I prefer the original like movie, but there are a couple sequels and prequels that I like, but I'm just the type of person that just prefers like the original stuff.
Yeah. I think you can like all as well. A lot of people get into, oh, do you like this one or do you like that one? And you can say, I like both.
Right. Exactly.
It's okay to like both.
Right. Because there's some movies that I like that you probably wouldn't like, or some music that I like that you wouldn't probably like.
Oh, definitely. Know? But I like that you like it. That's the main thing.
Right, exactly. I
appreciate other people's tastes and what other people are into all the time. It's just when people try and tell you, oh, this is better than that. And you just think, no, it's just because totally, you know.
Right. That's why I like having the podcast or like reviewing people or just like interviewing people, because it's interesting to debate what your tastes are and what and what, like, it's like a good debate. It's not really like a debate really, but
no. It's good because that's how you find out about new stuff, and you find out sometimes you can think you don't like something and you like the person you're talking to because you get along with other stuff, and then the way they'll tell you about something makes you think about it a different way, and you think, well, maybe I'll go back and try that again. And
right, exactly.
And watch that, you know.
That's also why I like movies and music, because like I was saying, they go coincide together. Like sometimes, like, I'm wondering, like, when they're editing the movie, how they figure out what like music they're gonna put in that scene or in that movie. I'm wondering what's going through their mind, or if it's the director telling them, I want this Beatles song here, and then put this Beatles song at the end, or if it's the editor that actually puts it in there.
I would probably be a director's choice, I imagine, because that's an important part of it.
Right.
And you'd have to get the rights for the films as for the music for the films as well. I know in a lot of cases, some people have wanted certain songs and you're not able to afford the rights on the budget of the movie. And they said, oh, it sort of ruins my film if I can't have this song there. So I think it is down to the director. It's like an important part of the whole thing, like you said, when they're deciding what goes where. They probably already know.
Or if the producers have say so in it, because they're giving you the money for that movie or that album.
Well, in some cases, like a brand new film that they're trying to sell, you know, Hollywood movie, and they're trying to get everyone to see it, some of that music will have been pushed in there, and the director won't have had a choice. It would be more like, that is where Lil Wayne's going to be in the film, and that's where his song's going to be. And they just do it like that. It depends on the film, doesn't it? It depends on the movie.
Right.
Some movies just have a score, so it's like orchestral score, and then, or you know, whatever, like Blade Runner, they had Vangelis do that score, you know, with sort of like synth pop score that was really cool. And that would be down to the composer then. And then it's just whether the director likes it or not.
Right.
I'm sure there's been some scores that get rejected by the director after they're wrote because they're like, no, it doesn't sound like what I wanted.
Right. Exactly. I'm sure it does. But even with like movies and music, they're like so much part of our lives, you know? And sometimes I think people actually, when they hear music, I think also it changed their mindset a little bit, you know, depending on what mood they're in.
Definitely.
Sometimes I've noticed if they're listening to like more of an angrier song, they get even more angry. And it's like, no, you need to listen to a calmer song or something.
Yeah. Have you ever had that situation where you're driving and a really good song comes on, you start driving faster?
Yes.
Because the song is getting you to...
Yeah. I've been pulled over for that.
Oh my God. That's the thing, isn't it? It's like, you need to listen to slower music, man. This is a 40 zone.
Right, exactly. I've gotten pulled over for that. It was on like the highway here. We call it 95. You guys probably have something similar.
Yeah.
But we call it 95, I-95. And I was just like, it's a 70 mile an hour road. And I was going like 80, 85 on the road. Because I was just like, I had the music turned up and I was just like writing and I got pulled over.
Do you remember what it was? What music?
I was listening to, it was one of the Justin Timberlake songs. I think it was him and featuring Timberland or something. It was that song. And
I love that Can't Stop the Feeling song he did. That was really
good. Yeah, that's a really good song too.
Hey, that reminds me as well, because that's a movie we've both seen talking about Timberlake. We watched that Palmer, because I remember you saying
that was a good movie.
I thought it was an amazing film.
It's on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was really powerful. And it was nice to see Timberlake doing a film like that.
Right.
Because he was actually had to become that character and act in it. He wasn't Justin Timberlake anymore. He was the character in the film. And I thought he did that really well.
He did. Like, I also liked him in that movie with Clint Eastwood and Amy Adams.
Oh, right. Which one? I haven't seen that one. Can't remember.
Let me see. Because he also wasn't Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. I've seen him in, he was in the Social Network film. He was good.
Yes. He was good in that one, but he played Justin Timberlake a little bit.
Yeah, that is a very good point. He did. He didn't sort of branch out.
But I like when he branches talent. Out a little bit more, you know.
Yeah, I think if you're going to be an actor, because he's such a successful music star.
And even in Trolls.
You need to go for it, you know.
Have you seen Trolls?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
He kind of acts like himself in Trolls, too. So it's called Trouble with the Curve, and it's Clint Eastwood and Amy Adams and
yeah, like her.
John Goodman's in the movie. Matthew Lillard's in it. Scott Eastwood, you know who that is, right? Scott
That's Eastwood. His son, isn't it? Yes. Eastwood's son.
Robert Patrick's in it.
Oh yeah, that's T-1000 of Terminator. Mm-hmm.
There's Sounds like a good. Lot of different people in it, and it's a movie about baseball.
And oh right.
What it is Amy Adams doesn't really get along with her father. And they have like a torn relationship. So that's Clint Eastwood. And Justin Timberlake's like I haven't seen it in a while. I think he's like a recruiter or something like that type of thing. Yeah. And he's trying to get them two together. And Amy Adams and Justin Timberlake end up falling in love in the movie and stuff like that.
So it's like a romantic drama, sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like the Clint Eastwood and Amy Adams are kind of like rekindling like their relationship as father and daughter, and it's just and it's just an interesting movie to see him in because he's not Justin Timberlake. Like Alpha Dog, he was kind of Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, fair enough.
And yeah. I was like Justin Timberlake trying to be like one of those like little gangster people. What?
It's not gonna wash, is it?
No. And I was like, this is not gonna work.
No.
But and then it also has the guy from Breaking Bad in there too.
Oh, which one? Walter White.
Not Bryan Cranston, the other guy.
Jesse.
Yeah, him. He's in that. He's in Alpha.
I can't remember
too.
The actor's name.
Yeah.
He's good. I only know him from Breaking Bad though. I haven't seen him in anything else yet.
Oh, he's been in a lot of different things.
Right.
He's also in this Hulu original show too.
Oh,
but
cool.
But he's in like a lot of different things. You wouldn't know that it's him if you didn't know him from Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad actually gave him his role.
Sure.
In a way. Yeah. You know, like Paul McCartney, like everybody knows him as the Beatles, but when he went on his solo album, they still knew him as the Beatles. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like anywhere you go, everybody knows who he is, but they all go, he's a Beatle.
Yeah. And it's the same for Jesse out of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that's He's Jesse from Breaking Bad.
It's always going to be Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't even know the actor's name, but I know his name's Jesse Pinkman in the show. That's terrible.
Let me see. Hold on.
Oh, I should know.
Hey, you know probably about more movies than I do.
Well, too much junk knowledge, but.
But hey, that's good though. You know what I'm saying? Like it's good. Like I've always his name's Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul, of course it is. They've all done well out of that.
What?
They've all done well out of that. You know, like Bob Odenkirk as well, who does Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen Call Saul. I have not seen that show, but I know the actor in there.
Yeah. He did he's done some movies as well now.
He did that movie Nobody. I want to see that one.
It's really good. It's really good. If you like action films.
I do.
It's a very good action film.
I like all films. I actually even like Casablanca. A lot of people don't
like
Casablanca. It's a classic, but I really like it.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people who don't like Casablanca stuff probably just haven't given it a chance, you know.
Right.
I think with old films like black and white films or films from the 40s, it's like what we were saying about the Beatles. There's a reason that people still watch them is because you got to give them a chance. But when you realize they're just amazing, they've got amazing stories. There's stuff in there that you're still relatable and you can still relate to. They might not have modern technology, but you don't really need it when you're telling a story that comes from the heart.
Right.
Same with the Disney stuff. You know, that's it has a universal message.
Right.
So Casablanca, you know, what a classic. It's amazing.
It's such a classic movie. And that
looks
like,
so nice, you know.
Remember The Artist that came out a few years ago? The Artist, that movie?
Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
It was, and like, that's kind of like classic Boyka.
Yeah, shot the same black and white, sort of all done in an old-fashioned way, and that won loads of awards and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. That's like one of my favorite movies, like that came out like in that like time. Like it came out in early 2000s, I think it was. I was working in a movie theater when it came out, and I got to see it for free. And that
To work in a movie theater. That must have been cool. Mm-hmm.
I used to sell tickets at the ticket booth.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys call that. You guys call it a ticket booth?
Well, okay. I suppose it wouldn't be a ticket booth. I mean, nowadays you have to, in some cinemas, you just sort of book your tickets online and you pick them up at a machine. And there's just like somebody to just check your ticket.
Or we call it the box office. A lot of people call it the box office. Yeah,
box office is the exact expression for it, isn't it?
I worked in the concession stand, so I would give people popcorn and their drinks and their candy. And I remember one time I was handing a customer their drink, and it slid off the counter, and it splashed right on them. And I'm oh my God, I'm so sorry. And they're like, don't worry about it, it's okay. You know.
Accidents happen.
And I also ripped the tickets, you know, like when you go through the like little line, I've ripped them. I also been in projections, so I've actually put the movies together before too.
That's very cool.
It's really neat, but you could put it in the wrong place though. You have to be careful.
I bet you have to know what you're doing there. You could play half of the wrong film.
No, what happens is back in the early 2000s, when they still had the film projectors, because now it's all digital.
Yeah.
But before, it was like, you know, you took the reel, you took the canister, the big canister, and those are really, really heavy.
Yeah.
So before, when the movies came in, you had to put the movie from the beginning to end.
Yeah.
So you had to watch that whole movie to make sure that you put it from beginning to end. And sometimes, because what they would do is use tape, like, you know, like scotch tape or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how they would clip the films together.
Together, yeah.
Like from beginning to end. So sometimes you didn't know, if you weren't paying attention or looking at it right, you would put the ending and then the beginning together. And you have, yeah.
Play it backwards or something.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so you had to make sure that you like exactly like it says it even on the canister. This is the beginning of the movie. This is the end of the movie. Yeah. And sometimes, like, somebody would be talking to you, or you just had a lot on your mind, and you would just, like, accidentally put, like, the wrong movie at the wrong place.
Everybody in the theater is like, hey,
So what you do is you play it in a movie theater that there's nobody in there, and then that's how you do it before you even put it on.
So you set up ready for when they come in.
Mm-hmm. And then once it's playing, it stays in that theater. You can switch them out, because once it's already like built and everything, you can switch the movies out from each of the movie theater rooms, because it's upstairs from the theater or the cinema, like you guys call it the cinema. We call it a theater, but it wraps around the whole like theater. Upstairs wraps around the whole like different room, so you can just see what movie. And sometimes you had to go in there because the movie would stop playing, or it would get locked out, or just like tied in like knots.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You get to see a lot of movies when you work there.
Yeah, I got to see a lot of free movies and free popcorn. So I don't eat popcorn as much now.
No, you got sick of it.
Yeah, because we'd get free soda and free popcorn.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys call soda. You guys call it soda?
Pop.
Pop. You guys call it pop? Yeah. A lot of northern states call it pop too.
How do they? I know there's this guy on TikTok. He's like from, I think he's either from very northern United States or Canada maybe, and he goes, how about a nice cool pop?
Right.
Because he does this thing where, you know, you go join him for like he cooks a little meal in the forest or something, and he's got his dog, and that's one of his bits that he always says, have a nice cool pop. And I just think, they call it pop as well.
Yeah.
It's like lemonade, basically, a kind of like Sprite or something.
Right, like Michigan, people like from Michigan and stuff.
It was,
like that,
I think he might be from Michigan. Yeah, that sort of. They got a funny accent, something.
My mom called it pop, and she was from West Virginia, so she.
Oh, is she? Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And my dad's from Arkansas, so he just called it soda.
Yeah.
But I call it a Coke. I'm like, you want a Coke?
Coke, yeah. Coke's well, just a Coke, isn't it? Coke's a Coke wherever you go.
Right, because I don't like Pepsi, so I drink Coke.
No
so
way.
Like, you want a Coke?
If you're going to go, and I don't like Diet Coke either. I always just think, if you're going to go Coke, just go Coke. Just have the full fat Coke, you know.
Right.
Have full strength, well, I super have sugar.
I have to honestly drink Diet Coke because I have health issues.
No, but, it's fair enough.
But I do every now and again do have a normal Coke, and it tastes so sweet to me now.
I bet it is super sweet though. They say there's something like 40 teaspoons full of sugar in every can.
It is. Did you know actually they used to put cocaine in it back in the early days? They
yeah, apparently. I think that's where the name comes from. You know, Coca-Cola.
It is, and I'm like, that's interesting. I want some cocaine.
Imagine that, people drinking that in them days, just drinking a soda, and they're all just like off their heads on cocaine.
Yeah.
No wonder they called it the Wild West.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's interesting. I want to try that, you know?
God, I don't think I would. Just have the standard stuff.
It would probably make you more hyper.
Oh, definitely. It would be terrible. I wouldn't want to take it.
You know, but out of if it's a Pepsi, so Pepsi tastes flat to me. So I've always had Coke. Pepsi tastes too flat to me. So if I am drinking a Pepsi product, I'll drink like a Mountain Dew or a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Oh, I like Dr. Pepper. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Pepper is actually made out of prune juice.
And my friend introduced me to another one. What's it called? Root beer.
Oh, I love root beer.
Yeah, it's quite nice. That's kind of like Dr. Pepper in a way, isn't it? That's what it reminded me of when
you ever had cream soda?
Yes. Oh, yes. Bars American cream soda. So nice.
Yes.
Such a nice
pack. Have you ever had a root beer float?
Is that with ice cream in it?
Yes, with vanilla ice cream.
Years ago, when I was young and a little kid, we probably tried
that. I make those sometimes.
Yeah, they're nice.
I like to watch it when I watch a movie. I like to make root beer floats.
I think we had them with cream soda here, so it was like a sort of vanilla float in a way. But
you could have that too.
Similar thing.
Back in the 70s, we don't have them now, but back in the 70s, they had an A&W like restaurant, and it was like a burger like restaurant and stuff.
Yeah.
And you could get the soda like that.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So much stuff over there, though, isn't there? You got all the, you know, like we have like McDonald's, we have KFC, we have Burger King.
We have all that.
We have Subway. But yeah, but what I was going to say was you guys have then, you've got like Wendy's, In-N-Out Burger, all of these. We only just got Five Guys over here. Five Guys has only been over here for a few years.
Do you like them?
Yeah, it's quite nice. I don't eat meat, so.
Oh, are you a vegetarian?
Like, yeah. But I think if I did, I would enjoy Five Guys.
Well, they have a grilled cheese. You could eat that.
I did. That's what I had when I went there. I had fries and grilled cheese. And last time we had, it was like basically like a burger. I had everything that was in a burger, bun and all the other stuff, but no meat.
Oh, it's like the impossible meat?
It's like it was no meat at all. It was just the vegetables and stuff. So it was like,
oh, okay.
It's, you know, yeah, it was strange because they charge you just the same as for a burger, but there's no burger. It's
like, right.
But I think some Burger King restaurants have started to do the Impossible Burger now. Where it's just, and some of those substitutes I think are really good. They're tasty.
I've tried them just because I used to be a vegetarian, and now I just eat chicken and I eat seafood and turkey. But most of the time, because my body can't process red meat, so I just don't eat it as much.
No, I don't eat it anymore. I think it can be bad for some people, but you know, I don't judge other people either. Though I'm not one of those where you know,
right.
I still my friends still eat meat. There's people I know still eat meat. I don't.
Right.
It's like we were saying before about choice in films or music. I still respect people's choice to do whatever they want. You know, I just choose personally. I just don't want to. Eat any animals, that's all.
Right, yeah, my mother-in-law doesn't like to eat animals either. She's just like, no, why? You have to kill the poor thing.
Yeah, exactly.
To eat it, you know.
Yeah,
exactly. But also, people don't realize vegetarians are different from vegans as well. People don't understand that either.
No, vegans like one step further, no eggs, no cheese, no nothing. Right. Nothing to do with any animal byproduct at all, but...
Right.
I do eat cheese. I have eggs.
Like I said, I have to have cheese because I love cheese. I could not go without cheese.
Cheese is just like the greatest thing in the world.
Exactly. And I'm like, nope, I could not go vegan. I mean, like, I've tried some of the vegan cheeses and stuff, and they're not bad.
Some of them are okay, but some of them are a bit like, ugh.
I tried the one that you couldn't melt, and I was making a taco. And so, you know what I did? I was like, nope, forget this. And I just put regular cheese on it.
It just won't melt. It's just like plastic.
Yes. And I'm like, how do these vegans eat this crap?
I know. I just can't get on with some of it. But there is so much stuff nowadays that is on offer for vegetarians or vegans, you know, that right. So you can have sausages, you can have burgers, you can have chicken cutlets, chicken meat.
You can have everything,
basically. The only one I wouldn't go near is like fish, because,
right.
You know, as in fake fish.
Right.
I just don't like the idea of like a fish.
I'm just wondering what they would use for the fish flavor.
Exactly. I don't want to know. It's like, fish is so unique. It's just like,
right.
I don't want to eat fish flavor.
If I'm going to eat fish, I want the actual like salmon or the tilapia. Or
that's what I mean about Coke. If I'm going to drink Coke, I want the full fish.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want this crap that's like, I don't even know what's in it.
No, I'd rather just have fish at the end of the day. That's one thing. When I became vegetarian, everyone said, you're going to miss bacon. Bacon's the one you're going to miss the most. But the one I really miss is fish. You know, like fish and chips, you know, we have over here.
I love fish and chips.
And that's one thing I really miss. I could still have the chips, obviously, if I wanted, but I can't have the fish with it. And there's no substitute for that. So it's the one thing I do miss now and again. I think, a nice piece of
batter. Well, if you ever go to Disney... because you're a vegetarian, they will accommodate to your needs.
Oh, that's
the nice. The chef will actually come out and talk to you.
Really? They just come out and say, what do you want instead? When that's happened to me before, not at Disney, obviously, but when there's been a nice chef and they come out and they say, what do you want? I just like have an omelet, and they can make an omelet with mushrooms and vegetables and stuff. And it's just like, and cheese, of course.
Right. Yeah.
I like it when chefs do that. It's really...
Because they also have vegan, not vegan versions. They have gluten-free stuff too, as well.
Yeah, sure. I've tried some of that stuff as well.
It's good. They can actually accommodate you to your allergies as well. If you go to Disney World or Disneyland or any of the parks like that, they'll accommodate your food.
That's one you have to do. If you come over to the UK, you have to do a bit of a European trip as well, because you probably want to go to Frankfurt to see where your some of your relatives are. But
I want to go to Italy. I want to go to Rome.
I was going to say there's Euro Disney as well in Paris.
There is. Yeah, I want to go there. And I also want to go to Shanghai Disney and Tokyo Disney and Hong Kong Disney.
Oh, cool. I didn't even realize they had them there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I suppose so.
If you look at my friend, I'll send you his link. His name's Jake, and he's from New Zealand. My friend Jake, Jake's Journeys, he has a video blog on Disneyland Shanghai.
Oh, cool. That'd be cool to see, because it'd be cool to check it out.
And now, you know the movie Zootopia?
Yeah.
Disneyland Shanghai is getting a land, Zootopia land.
Oh, very cool. So like, there's some of them have different lands within the parks.
Well, all of them do. So, you know the Haunted Mansion? You know what that is, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the Haunted Mansion and Disneyland, they have a Nightmare. You know what Nightmare Before Christmas is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have a Nightmare Before Christmas overlay right now.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. And so they actually build this like really big like gingerbread house, like really huge, like this huge of a gingerbread house. And it's actually made out of gingerbread and
all. So you could eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool.
And they put it in their ballroom. So the Haunted Mansion has a ballroom, and they put it in the ballroom, and they have a Jack Skellington overlay in Disneyland. Disney World, they cannot do that too. So Disney World is just a regular like
Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion. So
like a Disney one.
Mm-hmm. So in Disney World, it's actually in It's like in like each of the like Disney has like different lands and stuff. They have Frontierland, Fantasyland, and they have all Tomorrowland. They have all these different like lands, and so it's kind of like in the American like lands there. So that's cool. And then because the Chinese culture don't believe in ghosts and stuff like that, they had to Disney had to recreate this like whole different like haunted mansion for specifically for them. So they're like a different like manor. They're called manor or something.
All right, cool. I'll have to check that out. Is that in that your friend's video blog?
I think the haunted mansion is there. Their mansion is there, yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That is very interesting.
And then,
have you ever seen the movie Westworld?
Yes. I've read the book too.
Oh, cool. It just made me think of that with the different lands and the different parks. It made me think of Westworld. Mm-hmm.
So, so over there, it's like different. Each of the lands are different. Like my favorite land's Tomorrowland because it has my favorite ride, Space Mountain. And it's a roller
coaster. That's like a classic ride, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. If you watch Behind the Attraction, you'll see all. Have you watched that on Disney Plus?
No, not yet.
Okay, so you have to check that out and let me know when you check it out because I want to know your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So they have Behind the Attraction, and it tells you about all the different attractions that Disney has.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sort of overview of it all. It's like a documentary, is it?
Yes, it's like the Imagineering story. Did you watch that?
No.
Okay, you have to check that out too.
I'm sort of like that sort of area of stuff and Disney stuff for me is like, I liked a lot of Disney films growing up because we all do. We all watch some of them.
It's a classic.
When you grow up. But it is a classic brand. But I don't know much about it now. It's one of the areas, my areas of film that I don't know enough about, really.
Right.
Like my colleague did a review for The Black Cauldron a couple of months ago on our channel.
That is actually a very underrated Disney movie. Yeah, and The Princess is very underrated.
And he was saying about the trouble they had getting it made, and it was a darker film and all this. And I just didn't know anything about it. And he put this video together, and I was like, wow, that is so cool to learn about.
Yes. Like, I could be like him. I could tell you any Disney movie you would want to know.
You're our expert for Disney. We know where to come now.
Yes.
When we have Disney questions, and it's like, oh, I know who's going to know that. I'm going to ask Katie.
Yeah, Katie will know. You could ask me anything you would want to know about Disney, even him if he wanted to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I grew up watching all the usual ones, you know, like the old ones, like
Snow White.
Because and things like Robin Hood and stuff like that, because they were the ones on telly when I was a kid in the 80s.
Right.
They were the kind of ones you'd watch. And then the things like The Black Cauldron. But I suppose in the 80s as well, Disney started to do movies. Like, do you remember The Flight of the Navigator?
Yes.
That was a Walt Disney film.
It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's such a cool film, that is. So 80s.
Just like Kurt Russell, you know the famous Kurt Russell? He was in a lot of Disney movies too.
When he was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
When he was like a teenager, maybe he was like in his 20s.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it? A lot of people start with Disney, don't they? Britney Spears started with Disney, Ryan Gosling.
Justin Timberlake did.
Justin Timberlake, of course.
They were all on the Mickey Mouse Club together.
Yeah. That's mad, isn't it, to think about? Mm-hmm. They were just kids on the TV show.
Even like Selena Gomez, you know who she is?
Yeah, of course.
She was on Disney. She played on Wizards of Waverly Place before she got famous.
Yeah. Do you have an all-time favorite Disney movie?
Oh, Beauty and the Beast.
the cartoon? Or
yeah, the original.
The original, yeah. I haven't seen the live-action one.
It's on Disney Plus now.
I know. I haven't seen Dumbo. I haven't seen that.
Okay,
I haven't even seen Mary Poppins sequel. There's so many I've got to catch up on.
I love Mary Poppins. I love the classic, but I think Emily Blunt played Mary Poppins very, very well because
it looks good.
Mary Poppins.
I might be able to persuade my partner
and if
to
you
watch
like,
it at Christmas.
If you like Lin-Manuel Miranda, he's in there too.
Yeah, I don't know his stuff, but we just did reaction to that Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah, I love that movie. You have to watch
TikTok. I haven't seen it yet, but I do need to see it.
It's so good. It's about a composer that passed away in the 90s, and it was so good. I mean, like, I'm not an Andrew Garfield fan, but he played that role. He's not playing, like, Andrew Garfield. He's actually playing like that person. Yeah. And it was really cool because Spider-Man, I don't like him as Spider-Man, actually.
No.
I'm one of the very few people that don't like him as Spider-Man.
I liked him as Spider-Man, but I didn't like the films he was in as Spider-Man. I thought he was good as Peter Parker, and I like the sort of character portrayal. But do you like Tom Holland?
I like Tom Holland. He's not bad. I think he actually plays the role better than Tobey Maguire did.
Yeah, maybe. Tobey was okay. He's just sort of, we got used to with Tobey Maguire because he was like the first sort of Spider-Man.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so you know, it's like the big debate. Do you like Tobey Maguire? Do you like Andrew Garfield? Or do you like Tom Holland? It's like the big debate that everybody has. Like, which one do you like the best? And if, like, I feel like in that, like, universe, because I like Marvel. I love Marvel. I love DC. I love it all. Yeah. You know, I'm the type of person that I just love superheroes. It doesn't matter if it's a Marvel film or a DC film.
You'll watch it.
But that's like the big debate everybody has. Why can't we all just watch the same thing and all just get along instead of be like, oh, you only can watch DC or you can only watch Marvel. Yeah. No
way. That's like saying only the Beatles or the Stones.
Yes.
That's like old-fashioned argument.
Like, how are you going to make me choose? You know, because out of DC, Batman's my favorite out of DC. Oh, and definitely. Out of Marvel, I love Captain America.
Yeah. Oh, I loved. See, there you go. So many people I've talked to about superhero movies, and I always say one of my favorite Marvel films is the original Captain America film.
Yes.
You know, the one where he becomes Captain America. And most people are, you know, haven't seen it or they just didn't like it. But I thought that was one of the best ones.
It is. You know what I'm saying?
It's such a good story. And they did such a good job of like taking it from the comic books, because that's what it was, World War II, and he got turned into a super soldier, and they did it really well. I thought it was great.
I did too, and I loved the cinematography in that movie.
Yeah, it was amazing, the effects that they did to make him look sort of skinny, and you know, like he looks at the start where he's like kind of puny, I suppose is the word, in a way, and then when he comes out and he's like
exactly,
they did a great job. It was a good film.
And Chris Evans is kind of tall anyway. He's like 6-something.
Yeah.
So it was interesting how they made him look so puny.
Yeah, this is incredible how they did it. Mm-hmm. And I like the whole Winter Soldier sort of thread that ran through it, and it tied in with Civil War and stuff. It was one of my favorite elements of it. I almost prefer Captain America to Iron Man, actually. But Iron Man has a more interesting story.
I mean, like, I think, honestly, Tony Stark... Robert Downey Jr. is just playing Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark.
He is, but he's so good at it. It's just like, you almost don't mind because he's so good at it, you know?
Right. But he's just playing Robert Downey Jr.
He is, but he is Robert Downey Jr. It's like, who else could he be? And it does fit the character. Maybe in the comic books, he was probably a bit more reserved and he wasn't quite such a wise guy. Right. But I think it makes it better for the movie for him to be like that.
I call him a smart ass.
A smart ass, yeah, exactly what he is.
He's so cocky.
Yeah, but he's good at it.
Right. And then I just like his relationship with Chris Evans.
Exactly, because he's so much more clean cut. And he's not a smart ass so much. He's more sort of like homely, isn't he? Like wholesome guy. So it's good that they're opposites, really, because...
Exactly.
It works well that way.
Exactly. And I just like how like out of the DC, I also really loved the Christopher Nolan Batmans better than the other Batmans.
They are the best. I like Tim Burton Batmans, the first two.
Yeah, I like those ones too. I did not really like the
Batman Forever.
Yes, that one.
With Jim Carrey.
Yeah, well, I like Jim Carrey as the Riddler, but I wish he wasn't as kooky as he was.
Like, it was a very kooky film, wasn't it?
Because the Riddler...
Same with Schwarzenegger in the next one.
Because the Riddler is one of my favorite Batman villains.
He's in the next one, isn't he, with Robert Pattinson?
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that.
It's going to be great.
I don't know how I feel about Robert Pattinson being Batman, though.
Oh, he'll be great. Well, don't you
because
like
I know him from the Twilight series.
Oh, I see. Fair enough. I didn't watch Twilight, but
I read the books.
I know about it. Yeah, it was a massive thing. massive thing. I think for your generation as well, your sort of age, it was like that was the thing when you were a teenager.
Yeah, I was like 18, I think, when it came out, something like that. Maybe I was in my 20s. I don't remember because I'm 35 now, so I don't really remember. Fair enough. Bad to say. I think I was like in my 20s when that came out.
Fair enough, yeah. But well, that means I was in my late 20s and early 30s then when it came out, so.
Yeah, and I don't really like Kristen Stewart. Like, I don't know what it is about
her. Are you the only person in the world that doesn't like Kristen Stewart?
I don't know. Like, I didn't like, I liked her in Charlie's Angels. The new Charlie Angels, wasn't that bad in. But
I didn't see that.
Some of her other films, I don't know what it is, but I just don't like her because she has the same face all the time. I mean, like, I don't know her as a person, so I can't really say I don't like her. I just don't like the faces she makes.
It's fair enough. I think it's a valid thing. Sometimes that's a thing where you say, I just don't like their face.
Right.
I that's what I think about with me all the time. Like, you know, you'd make videos on Instagram and stuff. And most people just go, I don't like your face. I don't like your face. I don't like your face. And that's why they keep swiping, because they just don't like your face. But it's like, fair enough.
Right, exactly. You're
not going to please everybody, Lloyd.
Right. And then Robert Pattinson did play Cedric Diggory in the Harry Potter series really well, too.
Yeah. Have you seen The Lighthouse?
No, I haven't. I want to.
That is just like... That's a crazy film. Prepare yourself for that, because when you watch it, it is a mad film. You'll enjoy it, but it's very different.
I haven't really seen any of the newer movies that have been in the movie theater, like that House of Gucci. I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that yet. I want to. Really want to see that.
They're starting $5 movies at the movie theater here, or the cinema. I keep on saying movie theater, but you guys call it the cinema.
It's the same. I understand them as both. You know.
So one of the theaters down here have Tuesdays is $5 Tuesdays. And cool. So I just found out about it. And so now I could go to the movies and watch it, because the movies are just so expensive.
Yeah, they are. It's gone really, really pricey. What's the regular price? $16.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's no wonder then, because $5 is about, it's about £3, £3.
Mm-hmm.
So $17, did you say? Usually $16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably about £10
to go at night to go see the movie.
It's even more for IMAX. If you pay for IMAX, it's like another fiver on top.
And then if you get the D box, which the seat like moves or something, it's more expensive.
Do you like that sort of thing?
No, I don't
like that either. I don't want anything like that when I'm watching.
I don't like stuff moving. Like, I don't like stuff near my butt. I just want
comfy seat where I can spread my, you know, spread my legs out long and just sit there comfy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A lot of our movie theaters are starting to get like reclining chairs.
Yeah, that's the way. But the trouble with that is if you're too tired, you might fall asleep watching the movie.
I've done it before.
Yeah, Dave's done that as well. Me and Dave, I went with my girlfriend and Dave to watch Rogue One. And because Dave had been working all day, I met up with him. And then the movie just started and I just heard. And I was like, what? And Dave just fell asleep at the start of the movie.
And you're both Star Wars fans, because I see Dave's Star Wars poster in his video.
Yeah, we're both massive Star Wars fans, and we're both massive Beatles fans.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll have to have you guys on sometime and talk about Star Wars, because I have this my other friends, they're a father and son Star Wars podcast, and they love Star Wars. And the little boy, he's so cute.
Oh, bless him. That's where we all start with. It's like with the Beatles. You start with Star Wars when you're a kid, don't you? That's where you fall in love with it first.
What's your favorite Star Wars movie?
Probably the first one, really.
The New Hope?
Yeah, A New Hope. Just because, I mean, I do. I love the prequels and everything. Mm-hmm. The only ones I don't like are, I wasn't crazy
Episode
about.
Episode 1, 2, and 3?
No, I the only ones I don't like is 8 and 9.
Oh, okay.
Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. I just didn't like them as much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't like the ending of Rise of Skywalker.
No. I didn't like the ending of Last Jedi with Luke Skywalker dying. I just didn't like it.
Right.
I don't mind him dying, actually, but I just don't think he should have gone out like that. But
do you think they might have him come back as a Force ghost?
Yes. And he already came back in The Mandalorian. They did like a sort of... Did you see that episode?
Yes.
That was cool. Mm-hmm. That's what is some of my favorite Star Wars now is The Mandalorian.
Oh, I love The Mandalorian. I think The Mandalorian starts between, like, I think Empire Strikes Back in between there and the new episode.
Yeah, I think it's after Return of the Jedi, but before the Force Awakens.
Yes. Because my favorite Star Wars movie is Empire Strikes Back.
That's probably the best Star Wars movie.
You know, but you know, can you imagine back then, nobody's seen anything like that. And that's why I like George Lucas's films.
Because... You know, the first film I ever saw on the cinema screen when I was a kid was Return of the Jedi.
Oh, wow.
1983. I was 5 years old. It was the first time we went to the pictures, and that's what I saw.
Oh, that's really cool. And so that's like a special part for you.
Definitely. Because people always say, oh, they don't like it because the Ewoks and stuff like that. Right. But I always still love it because... Well,
they used to, in the 90s, have Ewoks walking around Disney World near the Star Tours ride.
Who did they hire to go into those suits? Like,
I don't know. Because
in the movie, it was either people who, you know, are just little people or children.
Right.
And you can't hire children to walk around Disney, so...
I don't know. Maybe little people. I don't know.
It must have been. I suppose it's good employment, but you must get hot in those suits.
Probably. You would probably really like Galaxy's Edge if you come
there. Yeah. I think that's where Dave's just gone to, where you go to in the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm. You go on the Millennium Falcon, and then they have the Rise of Resistance ride.
That's what
They also have like their own like restaurant and everything, and it's so cool.
You could get like a blue milk.
Blue and green milk. Wookie
cookies.
Mm-hmm. Blue and green milk. But I haven't been yet. And I heard a lot of people don't like the blue or green milk. Or they like one or the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I suppose it's just like milkshake. They've just got flavoring in it.
I don't know exactly what it's made out of.
Mad.
And then you can also get a shot of like rum in there too.
Necessary.
Yeah, and so when you go into Galaxy's Edge, you can meet Rey, you can meet Yoda, Chewbacca, you can meet all those. Like,
did you like the new films with Rey?
I did like them, but I didn't like them as much. Out of the newer films, I really like Rogue One.
Rogue One was brilliant. I really like Solo as well, actually.
I did not like Solo as much. Oh, I didn't like it.
Fair enough. No, I don't think everybody did. It wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but I thought it was quite cool.
I mean, like, it was a cool movie and everything. I have to rewatch it. I could have been.
It's not as good as Rogue One. Rogue One is much better.
I was probably not in like right mindset when I watched it, so that's probably why. Because you know, if you're not in the right mindset, it can change the movie.
It totally can. Totally can.
You know. So. Yeah. I know it's getting late there.
Yeah. It's 9 o'clock now.
So, yeah. So, where can everybody find you, Greg?
So, yeah, you could find us mainly through our website, moremovies.co.uk, because that has links to our YouTube channel, and it's also got our reviews on it, and obviously links to social media like Twitter and Instagram and TikTok and stuff. We're always at More Movies for You as well. So, yeah, people can find us if they want to, mainly through the website, I'd say, because that's got all links on it.
And they have a really cool YouTube channel and everything like that too. And I always watch them every day. Just about.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we like to watch your podcast as well. It's always interesting. You have some great guests and it's always an interesting conversation. So
thank you.
And you're doing great.
Thank you. And you guys know where to find me. You can find me on Instagram, Popping the Popcorn, YouTube, Facebook, /groups, Patreon/Popping the Popcorn. And I want to thank Amy and Dana from the Run Eat Drink podcast and Josh. And I hope you guys have a great day and have a great weekend. Bye, everybody. Oh, and thank you so much, Greg, for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Katie. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome.